This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora koutou, ko Sam Tokuingua. My name's Sam, and I'm the Mayor of Selwyn District. People from all over Aotearoa New Zealand and the world have chosen to call Waikerekere Selwyn their home. From the first settlers around Te Wuhora Lake Ellesmere over 700 years ago, followed by the first wave of Pākehā settlers in the mid-1800s, to the newcomers of today, each person, each face, each voice has a new story to tell. By listening to the Faces of Selwyn podcast, you'll hear the voices and stories behind these faces and celebrate with us the diversity of our district, New Zealand's fastest growing region. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the story.
Kia ora koutou, nō mai haere mai. Welcome to the Faces of Selwyn podcast. Ko Hayley Tate toku ingoa. My name is Hayley, and today I'm here with Rue. So Rue, what's hello in your national language?
It's Moro.
And that's in what language?
It's Shona from Zimbabwe.
Cool. So now please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you, your family, where you came from, and, you've just said you're from Zimbabwe. and so your journey to Selwyn from Zimbabwe.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, my name is Rue and I'm originally from Zimbabwe. My family, we moved here when I was 7, so that was back in 2005. So I moved with my mum, dad and sister, but now I have another sister, but that was a little further down the line. So we originally moved to the North Island up north in Kaitaia, and then in 2013 we moved to Ototahi Christchurch, and then 2016 that's when we moved to Rolleston Selwyn.
Oh, nice. And do you like living in Selwyn? Would you say it's home to you now?
Oh, it definitely is. I am very used to it. I think I would know like most parts of Rolleston. It is, yeah, definitely home.
And so describe your typical day in Rolleston versus how it might have been different in Zimbabwe.
Okay, because I moved when I was 7, so I guess everything would be different. Normally, in what I do in Rolly is I will go for a walk early in the morning, and you'll normally see a lot of people walking down the street around that time or running. And then eventually I'll make my way to Robert Harris, one of my favourite places to go to.
In Rolleston's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There came a point where I was too regular of a customer, so I had to slow down, but I love that place. And then I have a few other friends that live in Rolleston, so I normally head off to Farringdon side of Rolly, and then I just hang out with friends there, and yeah, that's my normal typical day.
Nice. And how would that be different living in Zimbabwe?
I guess for me it's kind of hard to tell because I didn't really grow. I came here when I was really young.
Yeah.
So then my memories of Zim are kind of, yeah, it's hard to explain, I suppose, because I was really young, so I don't remember a whole lot. Yeah.
Is there anything you do remember, though?
I just remember being with my cousins and family, because that's probably the biggest difference is that my extended family is not here. But that's all I can pretty much, yeah, remember. Yeah,
have you been back to visit them?
I have, but whenever we go back, it feels like pretty much a holiday type thing. So yeah. I don't know if I could really compare it to a typical day-to-day. Because I guess with back home in Zim, it's a lot more louder, if that's probably the best word. Like, you literally meet, people are always making some type of noise, whether it's like a party or something, which is like different to here. But that's like for all of New Zealand, not just specifically Selwyn. So, yeah.
And what was it like going back there for a holiday?
I think nostalgic in terms of I got to go back to my family, just because it had been like I went back in 2018, but since then it had been like more than 10 years since I'd been back, and I would only just hear people's like voices on the phone, which is so different to actually seeing them in person. And since I said I left when I was 7, I'm 24 now.
Yeah.
Some people, like some of my cousins didn't even exist when I went back. And then others that I did know had grown up so much, and some of them even have their own families now. So it was, yeah, a big change.
Quite a shock, I guess. But it sounds like it was a lovely reunion of the whole family.
Yes.
Cool. So now let's talk about Kai food, the flavours and meals which bring cultures and people together. So what food would we find at your dinner table?
So most nights you'd find this food we call sada. So what it is, it's a meal that's made with maize or corn. And what they do is they grind it up, and then it has like a consistency kind of like mashed potatoes.
Oh, wow.
So it doesn't have a flavor of its own, but you use it to eat other things like soup, beef, mint, like vegetables. So what you do is you roll it up in a ball, and then you use that to like eat whatever. So it's anything like you can eat with rice, you can eat with the sada, but it's pretty much a staple back in my country. And it's like maybe 4 out of 7 days at my house, you will definitely find that. So we have a lot of it in our pantry. Aside from that, I think most other things that you typically find, we've got a lot of vegetables to basically eat with the sada meal that I was saying. Lots of meat. You find a lot of meat. Africans love meat, so that's, yeah.
What kind of meat? Just like your regular chicken, beef?
Yeah, beef and chicken are probably the majority that's there, but we eat a wide variety. So we've got like lamb. Oh, we have this special type of sausage called bruvels.
Oh.
So they do sell it here in New Zealand, but it's a bit different because back home they use wild safari type meats compared to here where it's just like it's a mixture of beef and pork, so they grind it up and make that into a sausage, whereas if it was back home, they would use, like, the type of animals you find on a safari too, yeah. But it's really good and, yeah.
It does sound delicious. I mean, and if you think about it, typically Kiwis love a good snag, a good sausage, so sounds like you guys love that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, with our barbecues or braais, you will find every type of meat on that, so it's really good, yeah.
Wow. You must be quite full after a braais.
Oh, yes, yeah. But it's a really good way to get a lot of people together in a group because it's more like a social event where everyone just winds down from the week. And, you know, it's mainly a way for the whole neighborhood to get together if we were back home.
So you'd usually have that on like a Friday or a Saturday?
So back in Zim, it can happen any day. It could literally be a continuous thing. Whereas here, it's normally like, yeah, Friday, Saturday. That's when, yeah.
Cool. And so what's your all-time favorite dish, would you say?
So we've got this food called Fat Cooks. It's kind of like an African donut.
Ooh.
So it's like deep fried. So it's, I think the recipe would probably be the same as a typical type of donut. But yeah, you just deep fry it and then you can serve it with jam or whipped cream. And it's like, it's a guilty pleasure. Yeah, but it's really good.
Yeah, don't blame you. And any other foods you remember from your childhood?
Let me try thing. Oh, well, we do have this thing called maguru, right? So it's actually the insides of like an animal, normally a cow. So what they do, it's actually a big delicacy back home. So they normally, cook up the insides like how you'd probably do a stew, and then that's eaten with that sada that I had mentioned before. I do know a few people that still eat it here, but it's a bit harder to come across those specific ingredients. But yeah, that's probably something that I don't really think you'd typically find here. Yeah.
But it's something you remember from your childhood.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, I used to eat it a lot when I was younger, yeah.
Sounds delicious. And so out of all these foods, what recipe have you chosen to bring and share with us today?
Okay, so the recipe I've brought is samosas. So we have our own, because I think every country has their own version of samosas, but we've got one. But for this specific recipe, we cook based on feelings. Like, how do you feel? Like, let's say if I chuck something in, and then if I have the gut feeling that I need to add more, then that's how I cook versus me getting a tablespoon or something and then measuring it to a tea. Just because part of, I guess, cooking in our culture is experimenting. So even if I cook the same, let's say if it was a curry, it won't always taste the same just because, you know, you just chuck things in and, yeah. So, yeah.
Go ahead and tell us what ingredients you use in this recipe.
Okay, yeah. So in the samosa, one of the main things is potatoes. And then we've got onions, carrots, the typical salt and pepper. We use curry powder, so it gives it like a nice yellowy color. And we also use meat. Normally, I like to use ground beef, but you can use chicken or you can even go vegetarian as well. And we've got carrots in there. So that's normally my typical, what I would add in there, plus the pastry. And then for seasonings, I like to use, like, there's this peri-peri seasoning that it comes from, I think it's South Africa, actually. So I like to chuck that in, and also aromat, which is another type of seasoning that's found in Africa. But you can use anything that you can find as long as it's got full, it's full, like filled with flavor, because that's the main, I guess, gist of it, is you just want to put everything that you love into it and then just stack it out with the pastry and then enjoy it, because it's meant to be happiness with each bite you have. Yeah.
And what would you eat it with?
So normally you just get a sauce that you like and then you can just dip it. But if you want to have it with a larger meal, I guess you can just cook anything and have it on the side. But normally it's just, yeah, the samosas by itself with a dipping sauce, and then that should be good to go.
What's your choice of dipping sauce?
I love sweet chili. So yeah, that's my
sweet chili is my favorite too.
So yeah, it's definitely a go to, yeah.
And so why did you choose that dish?
Several reasons. It's something that I still have up to now, but it's also something that I remember from when I was younger. So I did live with my auntie for a bit of time, and she used to make it all the time. So whenever I do have it, it kind of reminds me of her. So she's still back home in Zimbabwe. So I kind of feel like this food helps me to kind of bring myself closer to her, even though she's like so far. So yeah, that's my main reason. Yeah.
It's awesome that you can connect with her despite her being so far away, but through the food that you make over here. And is there anything else you'd like to share with us today? Any stories from your culture or anything else?
I guess the main thing with my culture, because, like, I've been mixing that I'm Zimbabwean and African a lot. Part of it is because most African culture is the same. So we are very different, but, like, in what we do, but the overall wholeness of it is we are quite the same in how. So our typical foods normally end up being the same. We're people that love dancing. We love to sing. We love to do a lot of things. And I think for me, if, let's say, I was to meet up with someone who's Kenyan, there's so many things that we can relate to because of how similar our cultures are. And I really love that about being African, that I can easily just connect with someone without having to try a lot or to, like, you know, to find, like, to have to look for the littlest thing. It's like an easy connection. It's natural, and I really love that. Yeah.
That's really cool. Have you been able to connect with anyone like that over here?
Oh, yes. So at uni, because I'm currently the president of the African Society at UC.
Oh, cool.
So I'm always meeting with a lot of African students there, and we have a lot of events that we run. So we had Africa Day, which is like a celebration of the annual Africa Day event that happens back home. And it's just a day where we all celebrate our oneness. We like have dancing, we have performances, we eat food because that's always the best part.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just celebrate just being one whole continent, and I think it's a really beautiful thing. And yeah, we have a lot of other things that we've been doing, and I'm also heavily into like that other African communities within Canterbury, and so yeah, it's I'm still yeah heavily in there.
Whatever events do you guys host?
So there is like this big bride that's happening. So before, when I mentioned, it's like the barbecue.
Yeah.
So that is going to be held at UC, the University of Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
And for that event, it's basically going to try replicate what happens back home.
Mm-hmm.
Where we'll be sharing food, listening to African type music, and just dancing and just having a good time together as a big group.
Because
mm-hmm. I feel like, especially with COVID and everything, it's really good to be able to get back in big spaces and, like, you know, enjoy each other's company whilst sharing something that we can all relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you dress up as well?
So for this event, it's because it's a casual thing, we're not dressing up for
it.
But for Africa Day, that's the one where people came dressed up in different like attires from their home country. But mm-hmm. for this one, it's more just come as you are and then just come for a good time. Yeah.
Mm. What would you dress up in from your home country for Africa Day?
So for me, because I was running the event, I couldn't really dress up because I had to wear something that showed, like, you know, if people needed help, they knew where to go to.
Yeah.
But typically, I would normally wear something with, like, African print. So that's normally, like, a green, red, like, type yellow, vibrant, like, bright colors.
Yeah.
So it would come with a head wrap and then a matching shirt and skirt. The skirts always have to be long because in our culture, you can't really wear anything short because that's kind of disrespectful in mm-hmm. a way. And then shoes can be anything. Bare feet are also acceptable because, you know, for the most part, because I did mention we love dancing, so you kind of don't want something that will restrict you from being able to do that.
Mm.
So, like, whatever you do wear for your attire, it has to be something comfortable and flexible that you can still dance around in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you enjoy dancing?
I love dancing, yeah.
Is there a typical favorite type of dance that you do?
I wouldn't say a favorite type. I'm more like a freestyle type of person. Like, if you were to put on a good song with a good beat, then I would just dance based on that.
Mm-hmm.
There is actually like a Afro dance class that happens in Canterbury. It's actually coming to Rolleston as well September.
Are you involved with that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So we're part of the group that has been organizing it, and it's a way for us to share African culture whilst also promoting fitness and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that one, it's like we have people from all cultures that come to it, and it's really fun, like, showing people how to, like, you know, do any dance. And we do every and all type of African dancing, plus also it's mixed with hip hop, so it makes it really fun. Yeah.
And so what are you studying at UC?
I'm currently doing a Master's of Audiology, so that's to do with hearing and balance. We work with people from, I guess, all types of age groups. So my course is split between theory and practical work. And it's a 2-year degree, so everything is kind of condensed in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's a really great course, and I've been enjoying it.
And where do you think you'll go after you finish that course?
So for next year, I'll be working because I should be done by then. I'm currently writing a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's done, I want to work for a bit. I will probably head towards working with adults first, just because mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to get registered there. But then my goal is to like whatever I do, I think I can see home being in Rolleston. So I plan to maybe get a house in Raleigh and then just keep working as an audiologist. And if, I guess, yeah, time allows and everything, then I'll probably go back to UC and study further. And yeah, that's my current goals for now.
So where did your passion for audiology come from?
Part of it came because I did my undergraduate in neuroscience. So I wanted something that's still linked with that. So when I was with my mom, because she helped me, like, you know, make the decision, we were looking for like other courses that I could join in. And then we found that UC offered this one. And then that's how we ended up doing this course. Yes. I mean, I ended up doing this course. Yeah. So I also enjoy helping other people too. So this course not only, like, I guess was a step up from me being able to keep doing stuff in neuroscience, but it also allowed me to keep helping people because I love to do community work. Yeah.
Well, I can always tell, I can already tell that by the groups that you're involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the groups that you're involved with again?
So I'm currently president for the University of Canterbury African Society.
Yeah.
I'm chair for the Selwyn Youth Council, and I'm also part of this other group called Embracing Diversity. So yeah, those are my three groups. So.
Cool. And how are you involved with the Selwyn Youth Council?
So for that one, so as I mentioned, I'm chair for it, but I join a lot of like different committees in making certain decisions for Rolleston. And we also join other projects trying to make the youth voice to be heard out. So that way, if there are things that we see are a bit unfair on us, we try to advocate for that. But we also try to include more things for the youth, so that way it can be, because I think Rolleston has a lot of young families, so to make it a more attractive place, yeah, we kind of try to get, like, you know, more things, so that way we can, like, I guess, encourage youth to stay in Selwyn, but also be proud of the place that they're staying in, yeah.
Can you give an example of what you've done recently?
Okay, so currently we've been talking to, there's like the transport, because it's really hard to travel, like, I guess in Canterbury, especially if you are out living in Rolleston, Darfield, like all those areas. So we've been talking with the transport team to try see like if they could make traveling a bit easier. So it's still in talks, so it hasn't really completed yet. So I can't really say too much.
But people can watch this space, especially youth and Selwyn. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And I think that's all we have time for today. Yeah. So thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed learning about your culture, Zimbabwe, and some of the foods that you have on your table, as well as a bit about you as well and what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And so my last question for you today is, how do you say goodbye or farewell in your national language?
So it's Tozawonana.
Tozawonana?
Yeah, Tozawonana.
Did I say that right?
Yeah. So it's like, see you later,
Awesome. So, Tozawonana to everyone listening. and thank you for listening to the Faces of Selwyn podcast today. Wherever you are in Aotearoa and the world, we hope you have a great day. Kia pai te rā.